There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody. This is your official Leguizamo-rama spoiler warning. I know we've been getting a lot of DMs that some of you haven't yet watched Ice Age of Mammoth Christmas. So if you don't want the ending spoiled, please, you can only listen to like the first half of this podcast.
And also, if I could just chip, I know this is against regulations, but if I could chip in.
This is so beyond.
Ben Russell here. This is your guest.
Really disrespectful.
I haven't even introduced you.
If I could just pop in and just say that if you are the person that is worried about spoiling Ice Age Christmas special, then you and I have nothing in common. We're different and we're just not this. We should never meet. We're not going to be friends.
You don't want to meet the person that we're not. That's a fascinating person.
I find whoever that is to be so deeply fascinating.
No, I don't. I don't want to know you. I've never met you, and I don't like.
What if hypothetically you found out? Think of someone that is very close to you, someone you love, and you found out that they've always wanted to see this film. Would your opinion of them change?
Yes.
Wow.
Mm.
What if it was Alicia Cuthbert from 24?
Yeah.
Total babe.
Yeah. I don't know Alicia.
What if it was Piper Perabo from Coyote Ugly?
I don't know Piper, and I would think less of them.
Yeah, oh, wow. Well, right.
Wow, okay.
Okay, so you can only listen to the first half, then it's spoiler town.
Or just let go. You can't control everything. You know, this, and even the stuff that you can't control, you can't. It's an illusion of control.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's
too fast. You are spiraling you need help.
I think this is a hypothetical person. It's just because we do the spoiler warning and we're in the habit of it now. Mm. I don't think it's too much of a problem.
Mm.
Yeah. You've made me angry just thinking about the person that is there if they exist, which they probably don't.
I really doubt.
Of everyone in the entire world, the entire planet. There's not one person who has been holding off watching this film.
If there
that
is,
then listens to our podcast. That's the part.
Yeah.
That's the stretch.
That's the Venn diagram, I doubt.
Yeah.
You know.
If there is one person, that means I don't like one person.
Hey, this has been a great spoiler warning. Yeah. Shall we get into the
cue
episode?
The music.
Peace. I hate the word.
Hello everyone and welcome to Mission Zach's Leguizamo-rama, a Christmassy special. This is a podcast where each week we talk about John Leguizamo and everything he's ever been in. And if you're thinking to yourself, has he been in a Christmas film? Yes, three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're about to watch the third of the three.
Mm.
My name is Mish Wittrop. You might know me from, I know how to say Merry Christmas in Danish.
Where was that on? Where was I know how?
There are people out there that might have known that.
That's not broadcast anymore.
There's like lists.
There's lists.
They might know the list.
Yeah.
You could be on a list.
Yeah. I'm joined as always by my very festive friend, Zachary Thomas Ruane, who you might know from.
Being able to say it in Spanish and Italian.
Feliz Navidad.
Get
Buon Natale.
You're wearing a very delightful sweater. Cardigan. Yeah,
well,
I love it. I'm a big fan of this.
I'm
cardigan.
So glad you said that because when Zach turned the corner and saw me and was like, "Hi, Mish," I clocked the cardi but did not say anything about it. I said nothing.
All it takes for evil to prevail is for good Mishes to do nothing.
Yeah. That's true. That's a fair point.
That's beautiful.
We're joined, not as always, but...
As often.
As often as possible.
By this bloody ledge to my left. He's a comedian. He is a writer, an actor, and an improviser.
Mm-hmm.
And he's an Ice Age fanatic. Mm. He's obsessed.
He won't shut
the fuck up about this franchise. Ben Russell.
Ben.
Yeah, Ben Russell.
I'm an Ice Age super fan. I love it so much that I it seems like I don't like it.
Yeah. When we first announced that we were doing a John Leguizamo podcast, you were probably the first person in my DM saying, hey, if you ever do any of the Ice Ages, please consider me. Because I love the whole series.
Yeah, it's my whole brand.
And what I love is that we've now...
I built a career on loving Ice Age.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
I built a personality. I'm loving Ice Age.
Having done this podcast now for 3 years or something insane.
It's fucked up.
Yeah.
Do you know what this is? This is the only podcast that, you know, like this is a genre of podcast where you only do 3 to 5 of them. Mm. This is the only podcast of that genre that's made it past 5.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. In that 3 years, we've got a science fiction guy. So a guy that comes in and watches all our science fictions. We have a sporty boy. Comes and watches all the sporty ones. We have a gamer. She comes in every gaming one. And we have our Ice Age boy. So, I mean, you could have been science fiction.
Yeah, you could have love science fiction.
Yeah,
well, we didn't know that at
and
the
I
time.
Love John Leguizamo, you know?
Yeah, sorry about that.
You put him, I'll never forgive you.
Well, that's the thing. It's like once we started, we put you on Ice Age, the first one. We never really properly said, hey, this should be the thing that we do every Ice Age film. But we've committed now and he's done like 86 of them.
And they've just gotten better.
What?
They kept getting better.
Yeah, they never stop. They just keep improving.
They just get, the bar gets raised.
And that's the thing about animation, I think, is it would have been easy to rest on their laurels, you know, do the funny little animals. I think the challenge in and unto itself of something set in such a specific time frame would have really gotten to most animators and they maybe would have started putting more and more anachronistic things in there, but not Ice Age, and I think that's something I really love about it.
It's kept its conceit of being in the Ice Age
sort of time.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Before we get into it, Ben, I know you're a big, you're a Star Trek fan. You like a bit of Star Trek.
Yeah, I do. It's one of the few things that I still like and enjoy that you're like, you know, because as a kid I liked Star Wars, but then I grew up and I realized, oh, it's actually kind of dog shit. And that sort of is the part of growing up is learning to not
Like
the things that you loved as a kid.
You think in adulthood you've discovered that Star Wars is dog shit. Why?
I don't want to really get into it.
Oh, okay.
But it is. It's just it's not very good.
Just a couple of good movies.
I don't know that, but I'm just like I'm surprised because people who love Star Wars, it seems like a life kind of love.
I think Star Wars as a whole is not the thing that I take issue with. It's these things that we are, you know, stems from this like lack of any risk taking, which comes from, you know, creating universes out of fucking one movie, where it's just like creatively bankrupt and you're not actually enjoying it. You're enjoying the feeling of enjoying it when you were a kid. It's just all based, it's like a horrible tradition religion thing for a lot of people now. Like it's the same kind of vein. It's this nostalgia based entertainment, which is just not, it's like, oh, remember this? Remember this? We just refuse to let our kids play with their own toys. You got to play with Han Solo and here's a movie to get you into it.
Yeah.
So it's like, And Star Wars even is the most disappointing one because it's such a good universe. But they are just locked into this kind of dynasty, Ayn Rand nightmare of you know, what's going on. So, I mean, it's not all bad. I will give you that. Like, I dipped back in to watch...
Andor?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard great things about it.
I really enjoyed it. But that's kind of the only one that I've enjoyed.
Yeah.
The rest, I'm like, this is a toy commercial. This is just lazy writing.
What you said about like parents who grew up on it, who love it, who kind of force it into their kids. The only kind of likeness I have to that in my life is from like a very young age, my mum like shoved musicals so deeply down my gullet that I know so much about them. And, like, I suppose I have, like, but I like them, but I'm
musicals are a genre, though. You know, it's not like she shoved.
But I would argue that musical theatre people are like, musicals are to them what Star Wars is to big dweebs.
Sure. But at least there's like, many different musicals.
It would be like saying, if you liked Les Mis.
Yeah.
Now that we're making a new musical every year set in that era of France.
Oh, that sounds horrible. Yeah.
With those characters.
Yeah.
But Jean Valjean.
It's just Jean Valjean's son.
Yeah.
And Jean Valjean's in it a little bit, but he dies.
And the songs sound, none of the songs are quite as good.
Yeah.
But the songs sound very similar, and there are and a couple the next of pretty good ones.
Javert didn't die.
Yeah.
He's actually back.
Yeah. And then the next year they do one that's only on Jean Valjean's like grandfather.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
you
have no investment in that story at all.
It's this all right,
that makes sense.
Constrictive.
I think I get
it. Remember the little kid that climbed up the wall and got shot?
Mm.
You know, in Les Miserables, he climbs up the wall and gets shot.
He gets a movie.
Did you ever think about how he got to the wall?
And I know what people, like, I know what you fucking nerds are thinking. Ben, have you watched Strange New Worlds? Have you watched Picard? Those are all just nostalgia jerk-offs.
Mm.
And yes, you are correct. I like Strange New Worlds, though.
Here's what I will say.
I think it's very charming and fun. And
here's what I'll say in defense of Star Trek. Because I know, Mish, you wanted us to talk about Star Trek.
I was fucking hoping it would happen.
Mish was saying to me, just make sure you bring up Star Trek.
Yeah, I think it's like mine is based on, yes, it's still based on nostalgia, but I was a latchkey kid, so.
Oh, this is great.
Star Trek was a good little babysitter.
Listening to Zach talk to our guests about Star Trek is my kink.
Mm.
But, no,
I'm just rewatching DS9.
Yeah, and I just finished it.
And it's so good. It's just so good. I love Avery Brooks as a person and as an actor. I think that he's a wonderful personality.
He plays Captain Sisko, Mish.
Sisko?
Commander
like
Sisko.
Like the thong song?
First black captain. Like,
and his name is Sisko.
Main lead captain.
Commander Sisko, yeah.
Like Unleash the Dragon.
Captain Ben, I don't know what you're talking about.
Captain Benjamin Unleashed Lafayette Sisko.
Sisko is not, the singer of the thong song.
No, he came after Sisko.
He came after
Captain Benjamin. So do you think he named himself after him?
I think Sisko is with a Q, whereas this is an
S-I-S-K-O.
Different spelling.
I would be so on board with Star Trek if Sisko, the singer of the thong song and Unleash the Dragon, was in it.
Mm.
No, well, he's
no,
not.
That's, he's
okay.
Not in that.
This so is can, a sort of a. So this is a man dealing with
you
the trauma.
You do have classic of kind of actors though, like a Rene Bourgeois as Odo, and he's a classic TV actor.
Yeah. Well, you got a Whoopi Goldberg in there. That's the only one.
Yeah,
I mean,
she's in Next Generation.
Oh, okay. From season two on. She's
and they do change her character. First, she's like this magical black woman. And then she's like, they kind of be like, oh, she's not magical. She kind of lives forever. And
she work
but
at
she
a bar?
Has magical powers in the first few
Doesn't
seasons.
Doesn't she work at a bar?
She does. Yeah. She works.
10 forward.
Yeah, but because she chooses to because she's like 400 years old.
She
yeah.
chooses to work at a bar at 400 years old.
Yes, because she likes
that's more unrealistic than the Star Land or whatever it is.
The problem was they didn't have a main character. They didn't have a main character in the cast yet. That's job was to just talk to people, hear what their
even
problems
though they
were.
Had a
except for the counselor that had nothing to do after Guinan came in, little bit. I won't talk too much about Star Trek. I will just say one thing though, in response to what you were saying. One thing I would say that Star Trek has is that it's an outward looking sort of property. It's an outward looking concept. It's about people going and exploring. So there is space for new Star Treks because they can always go to new places.
Mm.
Mm.
You know, you can get some cyberpunk in there with the Borgs. You can get, no matter what happens to science fiction, no matter what happens to society, the people on that ship can go anywhere and they discover anything.
And there's a Star Trek for everyone. You know, like there's a Star Trek, you got the Below Decks, which is the animated funny one. You've got Discovery, which is for like, it's like a youth sort of a... I would say it's like a young fiction, very trying to be Hunger Games-y, dramatic. Everyone whispers and tries to tell you that things should matter when they don't. I mean, I personally don't think Discovery is the weakest of all the Star Treks.
I haven't watched Discovery yet.
I strongly dislike it.
Yeah, no, no.
But they try. At least they try to do They try to make it serialized, and they try to do different things. It's just the writing that I feel lets it down quite a lot.
The problem with Star Wars,
mm.
and then we're done, Mish. Then,
yeah,
we are
then we're done.
Sorry, I've looked up the cast of Star Trek, and it is packed.
Yeah.
Which one?
Absolutely. I just wrote Star Trek. It's at the original series.
You're going to all of them, yeah, there's
heaps. So many. There is a guy in it named DeForest.
Yeah, DeForest Kelly, classic TV Western actor.
Yeah, and he plays who?
He's Bones.
No.
Yes.
Leonard McCoy.
Yeah, Bones.
Oh, okay.
Dude, don't fucking try this shit on me, honestly.
I'm new to it. All right, Ben.
What about Grace Lee Whitney?
Who's Grace Lee Whitney?
Oh, she played Janice Rand.
Did you just go down the list,
yeah,
Mish? That's a bit rude.
Okay. Yeah, I like Star Trek. I don't know all the episodes and all the
what
characters.
What about Leonard Nimoy?
Yeah, of course I know Leonard Nimoy.
I know Leonard Nimoy. Goat.
You know Leonard
That's
Nimoy.
That's Spock.
No, just the thing I was going to say about Star Wars is I think it's becoming more and more evident that unless it's got laser swords and desert planets, it's not Star Wars.
It's got to have desert planets and it's got to have a bloodline dynasty where the unclean and the unwashed cannot be a part of it.
I think the moment that Star Wars died was when they did a movie without Jedi, so instead they had a samurai with a sword. Mish, I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay.
I'm going to shut this conversation down. I'd love to talk to Ben about DS9 now that I've finished it.
It's a great show. I think it's my favorite.
It's one of the best television shows, full stop, no Star Trek. Trek.
I think it
Not
was...
Not Star Trek. What? Next Generation.
Oh. No, DS9.
DS9, yeah.
They do the best relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it has... I mean, it's one of the first... sort of ventures into serialization for television.
But then also wonderfully episodic as
Well.
But
also what? Yeah, they strike an excellent balance.
I think we could look back and learn some lessons. Don't you, Mish?
Yeah. I've been watching Ink Master.
Mm-hmm. Great show.
Have you been watched? Do you watch it?
I love it. I love that. I love that to be a tattoo artist, you have to have the worst fashion.
Not only the worst fashion, but you have to be critiqued by Joel Madden.
Yeah.
So there's this show. Have you heard of Ink Masters?
I know.
You've got to dress like...
heavily, heavily produced reality television
show. Yeah, you've got to dress like you were Joel Madden in 2000.
Yeah. So it's so good. I'm obsessed with it. So it's super heavily produced. It's a lot of chats to cameras. There's a lot of drama in and amongst. Or they do this very, very like contrived drama in and amongst
it
actually
used to
tattoos.
Have, does the host still...
Carmen Electra's ex-husband.
Yeah. What's Dave Navarro.
No, he pops in from time to time.
My favorite clip, one of my favorite meme clips.
Yeah.
One of my favorite meme clips of all time is Dave Navarro did an episode of Ink Masters.
Yeah.
He used to be the host.
Sponsored by Taco Bell. Have you seen that clip?
Mm-mm.
It's very good. Or he's just like... Taco Bell Los, like it's like the like Los Docos or something. Los Docos Living. The Taco Bell brand is all about living dangerously, and it's like, oh, you have fallen.
It's so funny. No, but this show. So they have all these
get your human
on.
Canvases,
and they're just like they're good artists. They're good tattoo artists, right? Mm. But it's hosted by Joel Madden, who isn't a tattoo artist. He's a pop punk boy from the late 90s.
Mm, it's true.
From Good Charlotte. That is his claim to fame. Like, what else has he done? He just loves to host these competition reality shows. Mm. And they're all just trying to press him. And it's just him being like, your line work sucks there, man. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, but he's got tattoos.
He's got a lot of tattoos.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the one, the body paint one with RuPaul as a judge?
No. Yeah, I think I might have.
That one was really special. That was really like, RuPaul was a judge and it was about body paint. And one of the guys in season one's name was Gear and he loved Japan. In fact, two characters loved Japan, just like body paint. And there was like a couple of jokes about, hey, and it's not so bad that we get to paint near naked women.
Mm.
And it's like, don't say it.
Yeah, it's also like...
we know that's why you're doing
I've only
it.
Watched... There's only two seasons on Paramount Plus. And I have all the streaming services because of this pod. But there's only two seasons of it.
On
and,
Ink Masters.
Yep.
Ink Masters, it was one of those things that was just always on like 9 Go or one of those digital ones that don't give a shit about it. But it was all like just always on. And so I used to love watching it.
It is... It has been for the last 2 weeks of my life the best background noise.
Yeah, it's great.
It's so good. You just tune in every once in a while and you see like Joel Madden just absolutely criticizing the shit out of some poor tattoo artist who's done a perfectly good tattoo.
Do you know what I love about this? You know, we're talking about Deep Space Nine, Star Trek. Mm. You're talking about Ink Masters. But what we can all agree on is Paramount Plus is all right.
That's true.
It's fine, yeah.
It's got Star Trek. It's got Ink Masters.
I got the one you told me to get the other week.
Broly?
Yeah, I got Broly.
It's great, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. I watched You Don't Know Me, the Showgirls doco.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a great doco.
Oh, cool.
Very good. Have you seen it?
Mm-mm.
Very good. Have you seen Showgirls?
Mm.
Watch the doco.
Of course I've seen Showgirls.
Oh, yeah.
I was I'm like a millennial.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
I was a boy in 2000.
We've talked a lot about Showgirls, and Zach said it perfectly. And I rewatched Showgirls with my partner recently, and it's like, for something that is so naked and full of sex and like just like an uber sexual naked film, it is the like absolute lack of horny. There's like nothing about it is arousing.
It's the most sexless movie about sex. Yeah. Sex.
Well, with Paul Verhoeven, you're always going to get something else. You know what I mean? It's never just a, you know, a sci-fi about a robot cop. It's about, you know, the over-militarization of police or corporatization of America, or it's a, you know, if it's about alien bugs, it's about fascists.
Well, what was his point of Showgirls?
Well, I mean, it's been a while since I've seen it, but I'm sure it's there. I'm sure he has something that he's trying to say.
In the doco, what I loved is that someone who had done a research paper on the film or something, had done some sort of like, some sort of thing on it, had said that it was it's like Paul Verhoeven deliberately wrote it as if he was a 12-year-old boy.
Mm.
Who had just discovered pornography.
He's probably saying something about sex in cinema or sex in, you know, in general and how we view it.
Yeah.
I refuse to believe that Paul Verhoeven isn't doing something and trying to convey some kind of deep opinion or emotion through it. He's just such a fantastic director.
Yeah, totally. It's a very special film regardless.
Mm. I haven't seen it in a long time. I would like to
It's worth rewatching. I started rewatching it again recently and I only got a bit in. And what I particularly loved, I was only 15 minutes in when I stopped watching it. But what I particularly loved was like her performance starts at a 10.
Mm.
Like, she starts at a 10, and it's like, this is a 2.5-hour movie. Like, where are you going to go from here?
That character as well, it's in the documentary. This is probably the same person who said the other shit I just said. But they said that she's like, it's remarkable, the character, because she's so deeply unlikable, yet everyone in the film is willing to stop their entire lives and just have it completely revolve around her.
Yeah.
Everyone in the movie who meets her, literally their entire lives become focusing on making sure Nomi Malone succeeds. It's so fascinating.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating so movie.
The pool sex scene is great.
It is.
Remember the pool sex scene?
I do not. I remember it's been a very long time since I watched
sex scene in the pool is just, it's Kyle MacLachlan and Nomi. And she's just like, it's like she's like, he's just. She's just, there's not.
So they're
not
in the water from the like waist down, right?
And then I think it's like he's just swinging her around.
Yeah,
and she's just thrashing like a shark out of water.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. Incredible.
I'm going to give it a shot.
It's on Broly.
Yeah. Love that Broly.
Love that Broly.
Mm.
Do, 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 do.
I reckon we go to an ad.
Yeah.
And then after the ad, what should we come back and say?
Favorite Paul Verhoeven film.
Okay.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hi, welcome back from the ad break. Mm-hmm. We hope you enjoyed it. And we just promised favorite Paul Verhoeven films, and mine's got to be Starship Troopers.
Okay, I've not seen it.
Oh, Mish.
It's one of my partner's favorite
films. It's really good.
It's really, really. It's like a dumb action film, and it never says it, but it's so, so much about like fascism and it's how you get pulled into it. It's good.
When I went and saw it when I was a teenage boy in cinemas, and I thought it was the greatest film ever made because of the surface level things.
Yeah, which are badass.
Which are fucking sick. And it was amazing. The special effects for the time are, and it still is good.
Yeah.
But it is such a fucking badass, awesome.
I got to watch it.
Fucking teenage boy film. But if you rewatch it, you're like, oh, this is about fascism and how, you know, kind of about the United States in a way.
There's just this thing where it's like you watch a movie like that, and if a movie is dumb or simple in how it presents, you just sort of make a whole bunch of assumptions right up the top. You assume who the good guys are, you assume who the bad guys are, and you just go with it. And what's great about this movie is it plays on those expectations without ever doing it in the text. It never does a twist. It never does a... Well, think it's just like you watch the movie and then it's like at the end you're like, wait a second, what did I just watch?
And that's the same reason why I love RoboCop.
RoboCop's good fun.
On a surface level, you can just enjoy the absolute shit over it.
Yeah.
It's just such a fun ride. But then you're...
That's how I feel about Showgirls, though.
Being said as well, that you can choose to be like, oh, that's fucking awesome. Mm. You know, it's really subversive or... It still holds up very much, you know. A lot of the themes that he touches on in RoboCop are still very much, you know, can be attributed today. And that's why I think RoboCop has stood the test of time, and not just because it uses very little special effects and all practical stuff.
I love that you're such a big Paul Verhoeven fan.
Yeah.
Mine, like, and this is, like, again, going off the Mish way of rating something, which is pure enjoyment. Probably Basic Instinct.
Oh, great.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah.
That movie doesn't get enough to... It's a funny film.
It's very funny.
Yeah.
It's quintessential horny Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
And it's funny. It is funny. It's a really, like, but pure entertainment from start to finish. Like a really just bizarre and fun. And I think Sharon Stone is phenomenal in it. I think, and like, hate to bring it back to Johnny Legs, but like with Baz Luhrmann and John Leguizamo, it's like John Leguizamo just got Baz Luhrmann. It was like, oh, I understand what it is you want me to do with these movies, right? I think Sharon Stone got Paul Verhoeven.
Yeah.
I think she was just like, okay, I think I understand. Like, I think I get what you want from me, from this film.
And he sounds mad. Like, all the sort of, I watched this great, there's... How the movies that we loved, or how was it made, or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
RoboCop has a great one on there.
I haven't
and
seen it.
And he sounds like an absolute madman.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
That clip in You Don't Know Me, where he's just like, they're doing the choreography, and the choreography is mental in that movie.
Mental.
And he's just like laughing. He's like, yes, it's so sexy. She's like, I love it. It's so sexy. It's like,
he is very good at casting. Starship Troopers, he purposefully casts beautiful ex-soap stars in his lead roles.
Yeah.
Because this is what the whole movie is, a recruitment drive for the human forces against this war that you're like, they're just... Well, they're just bugs, and you are
quite
dressed,
nice bugs.
Well, is this the guy he cast?
You are dressed as Nazis.
Was it the guy that he cast as RoboCop, just like a real weird dude as well?
Peter Weller,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he's a kook, but great. No, they cast him because he has a great lower half of his face, which he does, and does.
Did you see that clip? I can't even... I'm referencing a clip I half remember, but about him wanting Oreos?
Yeah. So good.
Ben, what's your favorite?
I mean, I think I would have to go RoboCop.
Okay.
I think that's the definitive one. It's a close second by Starship Troopers. I just think both of those films are real clever but dumb, but just perfect American... like action cinema.
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. RoboCop was so entertaining.
Mm.
All right. Let's talk about
Let's talk about some more perfect cinema. Yeah,
perfect cinema.
Speaking of, this cinema, though? I don't think
no, well, it was a television release, yeah. You know. Mm. But I think it got... See, this is the thing.
I think feel it, like it's on a DVD.
They did screen it at Cannes.
Mm.
No, what?
They did not.
Oh, God.
They did that with Twin Peaks, The Return, and then the French got mad because it wasn't cinematically released. And then other people were like, why can't it just be good television? Why do you have to pretend it's a movie? Anyway, this week we watched the 2011 television special Ice Age, A Mammoth Christmas, in which the Ice Age crew followed the Northern Lights to find Santa Claus, the human man, who was based on St. Nicholas. Because it's Christmas, which is a thing all the characters are aware of, even though this film was set tens of thousands of years before the birth of Jesus or early Christians who commemorated his birth, or even the pagans from which many of the traditions are based on.
Mm. Yeah.
John Leguizamo again plays Sid the Sloth.
Mm. Great.
And there are again more sloths.
Something I find really very interesting, I just want to touch on this at the top, is that this movie was released in 2011, which is nearly 10 years after the original film, right? People who liked the original film, like kids, have grown out of this franchise now. Yeah. So who is enjoying this film?
Well, again, this comes back to we refuse to let our kids like new things.
Yeah. So you think parents who loved Ice Age are now showing?
Oh, yeah, I like that. You like that now. We refuse to let people discover and enjoy their new.
Kudos to Bluey for cutting through that.
Yeah, big shout out to the Meyer Windows.
Shout out to Bluey and big the Meyer Windows.
I when I was in the city.
It's hard to let go, though. I don't have kids.
I don't understand the Meyer fucking Windows. That's a cultural
thing. The lines to
the
see
the lines
it.
Are... out of control.
That is 100% some sort of weird family tradition thing.
Just
that people
because
do.
You have kids, and I get this. I get having kids. I mean, I don't have kids. I'm not going to have kids. It's a different world. I'm out of my element. I understand that. But just because they're children doesn't mean they have to be basic bitches.
And I think it's like, yes, you liked it. Your grandparents liked it. It's because in the 50s, when TV was black and white, and women couldn't vote, that was entertaining.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, look at these pretty things that rotate in the window. And now it's like we've got our Nintendo Switches.
Yeah.
This isn't entertaining anymore.
It's pretty close to like, it's kind of the closest. We all kind of, I think a lot of Australians can now afford a flight or get a flight to like Japan to go to Tokyo Disneyland. That, you know, most of them can get on Jetstar, go to Tokyo Disneyland. But back then, if you wanted to see, you know, puppets and shit, that was the closest you could get.
Yeah.
Trip to IKEA and then go see the
Speaking
windows.
Of puppets, much like the Maya Windows or Ice Age and forcing your kids to like what you like, it is hard to let go, though, because I don't have kids, but my sister does, and I have a five-year-old nephew, and I was so excited because I'm like, oh, my God, I get to show him A Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So that was my favourite movie.
That's a great
favorite Christmas film, right? Mm. He has no interest in the Muppets. Yeah. And it hurts because I don't understand how you can't, because when I was his age, I was obsessed with the Muppets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I don't have a little dork, if I have kids and they're not little dorks.
Zach, I can guarantee you 100% if you were to have a child, that child is a dork.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Mish,
a very handsome dork.
Thank you. That's very sweet. That's not really what I was fishing for.
No, the kid's a dork, dude.
But
you can try and sugarcoat it, but that kid's a fucking dork.
But do you know what I really worry about? You know?
I'm going to bully that kid myself.
Yeah, I know, Ben. You've said that since the day we met. Yeah.
If you ever have a child, I'm going to
bully that fucking kid.
I worry more that my kid will like go to a school in like Northcote or something and not know they're a dork.
Well, dorks don't. That's the, you know.
But they'll hang out with other dorks and they'll learn
dorks
the bass guitar.
In high school, they're told that they're a dork.
But what? Not if they're going to like some dork school full of dorks.
That's true.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? And then they'll get all confident and shit, and then like go to clubs.
What you've got to do?
They'll get into improv.
You have to send them to an all girls. You have to send them to an all girls private school in the northern suburbs, and believe me, they will find out if they're a dork.
Yeah.
Believe me.
No, I believe in that. I believe in that good old country style bullying. Not the sophisticated
not the
shit
bitchy.
You had to pull
Yeah,
up
like with. Notes in a locker. You don't want that. You want gutter stomping.
Hey, my
you
bullies.
Want slurs and chasing them down a one-way street in a pickup truck.
When I grew up, we had friends.
With one overall piece hanging off.
Come out, Ruwain.
We're going to get you, Ruwain.
Can't hide forever, Ruwain.
And I was worried. I was played by a young Jerry O'Connell. Was that from Sliders? A young Jerry O'Connell with a horizontally striped T-shirt.
Yeah.
I had old fashioned kinds of bullies. Your ones were real smart and shit.
Yeah.
See where I grew up, you had bullies and you had friends, and they were a separate thing.
Yeah.
But you, your ones, they were.
No, I was lucky. I didn't get bullied because I deliberately became friends with the girl that everyone was scared of.
Ah.
She was really tough, and she hung out with older, like her older cousins and stuff that would pick her up in their Skylines.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I became her friend. She's still my best friend.
Yeah.
But because I was friends with her, I was like uber protected.
Untouchable. Yeah.
And I was a fat fuck. I didn't know how to wash my hair. All I did was do drama classes. I cried every other day and never got bullied.
In high school I didn't get bullied because I was cheeky towards teachers anyway. So, and I was class clown, and I was good at, like, you know, public speaking, and I'd get up and do what I didn't know then, but it was stand up.
Mm.
For the school, really.
Oh, I can't imagine that
I was the funny dude and would just be able to, you know, I got a little bit, but also I beat them to it. I was able to, like, do better
bullying
for myself. And
then were you a bully?
Maybe. Someone might think that I was a bully.
But I was playing it up before. I wasn't that badly bullied either.
Mm.
I was kind of a in-betweener, I would say.
I mean, I was just an outsider because I was I was an arty kid in the northern suburbs of Perth, and that just wasn't done.
Mm.
And there was nothing for me. So I was never, I never felt, it was a while until I found my people.
Mm.
Yeah.
I just didn't really like it, especially towards high school, at the end of high school, I did not enjoy it or like anyone.
Mm.
But I wasn't bullied. I just was like, you people, no, we've got nothing in common. We're not, there's nothing there. I wanted more, so.
Yeah, no, fair.
I was like, it wasn't that bad, and then I was like running through, and that got me into some
memories. That's what I've been doing as
and
well.
And I've been like, actually, there was a couple of weird, but I was never like relentlessly bullied. No, I had a few friends that were like bullied.
I didn't get bullied at school. I went to this all-girls school. I didn't get bullied at school, but the neighboring boys' school, they were pretty awful to me. No, but like, I mean, like, I don't remember.
Wait, the all boys school, they didn't raise them to treat women right.
No,
weird. That's
isn't
a shock.
That strange?
Yeah, that's really strange.
Yeah, that's shocking to me.
Yeah.
A private boys school that they weren't.
Yeah, they were rude.
They didn't
to
look
you.
To protect the women. Yeah, no, I know, it's crazy.
So they didn't treat you well.
No, just a few bad eggs. It's not a system wide.
I talked about the duct tape thing in the other episode. I got
Are you sure you want to go down?
It's like I have not thought about this in 20 years.
Because I just want to say I had a couple of memories, and then I thought, bit of a downer for the podcast.
Oh, okay, then I won't share it.
No, you can share it.
No, because I don't want it to be a downer.
I would tell you not to share it.
It's not a downer because it doesn't, like, I feel like. Like, I don't care about it anymore. If
you
anything,
are free to share them.
I'm sure I probably annoyed people. I was
That's
more
how
annoying.
You podcast.
But, like, I'm trying to think as well, like, was I the bully? And I don't think it was, because I could go through, I would, if I got tired of one social group, I would be able to move to the next. And I had friends in the really cool group. But the really cool group in ours weren't, like, jocks. They were stoners.
Yeah.
And fucking people that are, you know, probably have went to the mines, and that's kind of it.
Mm.
Yeah, no, I was not ever friends with the cool people because the cool people in my school were like football.
Yeah, right.
Like, and to me,
country cool.
And to me, the idea of, you know, when I met people that went to like, I went to a Catholic school, but when I met people that went to like proper private school when I came to the city, like proper private schools, the idea that you could be good at sports and good academically, and in fact it was the more that both of those things were encouraged, both socially, and like there was maybe one guy in that I can think of that was both, you know what I mean? Like you were either a nerd or you were into football and stuff. It was very rare that you did both. And yeah, so that, yeah, no, I wasn't friends with those guys.
The cool kids at my school, the all-girls school, were the girls that had like lip gloss and nice pencil cases, and their school skirts were a little bit shorter. And
yeah.
They, but they were good academically. They were smart.
That's wild to me.
Like. Yeah, no, the cool girls in my school were not. They were just the lip gloss, but I wouldn't say that they were academically good.
Okay.
The academic girls were kept to themselves, but they weren't really bullied. They were just academic girls. And then there was like my main social circle were just like the kind of normal people. They weren't really worried about that as much.
Yeah, I moved around a bit, but mine were moved like around, music-y people, but not like hardcore music-y people.
They were mainly from our form, like, which is our homeroom or whatever you guys call it here. Our form was quite a good form, and we were all kind of friends, so we all kind of just stuck to that.
Yeah, that's nice. Here's my thing with the Ice Age Christmas movie.
I think you're going to say the same thing that I'm going to say.
So I feel like we probably all feel the same way about this film.
I tell myself not to go too hard on the anachronistic stuff. You know?
Yeah, we are going to say the same
thing. Well, I'm not going to talk about Santa. You can talk about Santa.
All right.
I'm not going to talk about that. Mm-hmm. What I'm going to talk about is the fact that there's a bit in it where the saber-toothed tiger goes, "Oh, I've lost track of my geomagnetic whatever you call it."
Mm-hmm.
He goes, "Oh, I've lost track of my geomagnetic whatever." Mm. And I just, that made my brain melt so hard, because not only are they aware of like geomagnetic poles or like geomagnetic sense, they're aware of it to a level that in whatever language they're speaking, there's words for it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And they're aware of it to such a level that a working class saber tooth knows about it,
but also
but can't recall the
words
for it.
I don't think, I mean, are we sure that saber tooths had that? I know that some animals do, you know, cows line up to facing like a direction. I don't fucking know. But like
there are animals with those senses. But are they aware of what that sense is?
And at the very least they can't verbalize it.
Yeah. That we do know.
For a fact that even if hypothetically saber-toothed tigers were aware of such things, they wouldn't be able to say, "Hey, I am aware of such things."
But let's agree that animals can't talk in real life.
Yeah, well, it's a cartoon.
Let's all agree.
I've always assumed they're talking. It's a cartoon, man. It's just a silly cartoon.
Yeah, it's a cartoon. Kids,
don't stress.
I wasn't the one saying that, though. You were. I just wanted to make sure.
No, I don't think they're talking. I imagine they're putting their growls and their sounds together in such a way that it works as a rudimentary language.
To each other.
So, yeah.
That it's something like they can sense between saber-toothed tigers. Yeah.
That a saber-toothed tiger has their series of growls.
It was a different time. We don't know. We weren't there.
So, the thing that I have a problem with is that, yes, Jesus Christ wouldn't, you know, if you believe that he is the Son of God, be born and then spend time on the earth and then die for our sins, but he wasn't birthed and for thousands of years. So the prospect of Christmas is, they know it so well and it's a thing and they say
celebrate.
Merry
they
Christmas.
Have decorations. It's like it's almost as if it's Christmas in 2011
they invented
and not
the
in
Christmas
the Ice
tree
Age.
Instead of the pagans.
Yeah,
yeah, they invented the Christmas tree, but already established was peppermint as a flavor for Christmas, sugar plum, that sort of thing. There were so many Christmas, even just the idea of Christmas. What are they celebrating?
Yeah.
You know, I'm personally, you know, I'm not here to say you have to believe in Jesus or not believe. But what I'm saying is if there isn't a Jesus, what is the sort of celebration
of the 25th
around?
Of December? Yeah. What is this thing?
Yeah. I mean, we don't even know when Jesus was born.
And that's when I'd like to segue real nicely into Santa, someone you said you didn't want to discuss.
Who looks like is terrifying.
But also, this Santa is one of the most trash Santas I have ever seen on television.
Yeah, he's pretty trash.
Honestly, though. And I try not to shit on John Leguizamo films too much, and I love to look at things from a different perspective and try and understand or whatever. Let it be known on record that this is the most trash Santa I have ever seen on television.
It looks like they stole the model from Ants and then put a beard on it and took off the ant antennas and kind of made it humanized a little bit. It's an ant's face.
Yeah.
The fact that it was a...
it was fucked. It was the trash Santa.
The fact that it was a human...
Yeah.
Not... I was expecting like a sloth or something.
What sort of creationist fucking bullshit are you spinning here?
Yeah. Like he was a human... He was a European human before. I don't think Europeans existed.
Wouldn't have.
I don't think there was any human in Europe at that point.
I would have respected this movie slightly more if Santa had come out and he wasn't a white man.
But not only that, but they had the first Ice Age featured Neolithic ancient humans.
Yeah.
Or you know, they might have been Neanderthals. I think that
we saw that in the first Ice Age.
Yeah, we saw.
Yeah.
Ancient prehistoric humans. So why is this guy a white Santa?
A white European Santa with features on humans that have only existed for the last maybe 5,000 years?
Yeah.
He should have.
And you can say, oh, it's magic. Mm. It's magic. No, I refuse. Because you, Ice Age franchise set this premise from the first couple of films where they were like, this is set in the Ice Age.
Yeah.
It really is it's really all there in the title.
It's all there in the title. So you can't say, that's like me being like, I'm setting this in fucking Russia, but also here's the beach on a 40 degree day.
Yeah.
Because of magic.
They didn't even, it's not even, at least make it a black Santa.
Yeah.
For fuck's sake.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Why? Mm. And he's wearing clothing that wasn't invented until maybe the 18th century.
Yeah.
And velvet. And Coke wasn't even invented to turn him red.
Yeah.
Well, the belt. I don't think they had belts until 600
years. That's not true. They didn't have pants for a very long
time. Pants are new.
Pants are new.
If they wanted us to even slightly believe what they were doing with this Christmas bullshit,
I
wanted
a
black Santa and I wanted his dick out. If he's a black Santa with his dick out, I would have respected this film.
I probably would have
I would have actually loved the film.
It would have saved it for me.
Don't you reckon that if it was a black Santa with his dick out, there's a part of you that would have enjoyed this film?
Oh, 100%.
I was expecting.
I love a big choice, you know, and if it's a
that's a
big choice, and especially because it is, you know, at least there's an attempt to put it in the realm of reality, 100%. Of Ice Age.
It is the most egregious that Ice Age has ever been with this style of thing.
I don't know.
Dinosaurs at the center of the earth is.
I'm sorry, Scrat creating the galaxy.
Well, yeah, Scrat's an alien. Sure.
Yeah, all of those things, right? But with the dinosaurs at the center of the earth. We don't really know what's at the center of the earth.
Yeah, it's nothing that the monarch king, the monster universe is doing right now.
Yeah, you know, we're not absolutely certain there's not dinosaurs down there.
We're
pretty sure.
We can be quite, we're sure.
We're 99.9% sure it's true. Not that, but no one's been down there.
We've only scratched the surface of the earth, really. We have never really gone a huge a depth.
And in terms of the spaceship, well, you know, the infinite nature of this universe, who's to say that we weren't visited by superior technology? And I would even go so far as to say, you know, just last year, a new thesis came about how the moon was formed.
Mm.
So, yes, absolutely, there's a lot of things telling us about how the solar system was created.
Mm.
But we're not absolutely certain it wasn't created by a rat in a UFO.
Yeah.
Fact. Well, okay, that's true.
With the moon was formed by a rogue planet that hit the Earth.
Yes, but you know, they've just recently changed it, I believe. I think now they think that There was something slightly different.
Yeah, and I mean, true. Interesting. Pluto was a planet, then Pluto wasn't a planet. It gets a planet again.
Well, that's the beauty of science, is that it can change when it finds out that it's, you know, and redefines gets more specific.
And I think, you know, they've got the new...
That's why I like science.
You know, there, they've got that, that new...
hot take.
They had the Hubble and now they've got the JW...
Yeah, that beautiful
new telescope, beautiful telescope, getting the some web. Great images of the universe, and I think that if there was evidence from that,
we could find a picture of a scrat.
Saw that.
Oh my god! Imagine if we did. If there was egg on our fucking face,
the scrat made the solar system.
We'd have to apologize.
No, we'd have to do an official apology.
And scientists would be the first to put their hand up and say, "Look, new evidence now is pointing towards the scrat."
And that's the thing. I'm confident that if we had proof that scrat did create the universe, I would be able to say, "Okay, I'm surprised, but yes,
hands up." There's proof.
Let's
here.
Go for it. Let's take it. That on. Yeah.
If they built a larger hadron collider,
that's the beauty of not living, you know, dogmatically.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I like at this stage where we're at right now, scientifically, historically, what we should have seen was a black Santa with no pants.
Yeah, or at least a skirt of some description.
Yeah,
maybe mammoth skin.
Yeah, skin. Skin would be perfect. Yeah, for skin. And back then, yes, skins. That's what.
Especially
we're
in
about.
The Ice Age.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know if reindeers, cloven hoofed animals,
and voiced by the guy that guy that got cancelled a couple of years back.
He went crazy.
Who was that?
The guy from Silicon Valley.
Who's that?
Took me a hot minute to figure out who it was. I thought it was Ryan Reynolds.
I knew it immediately.
It's like, is that Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah.
But no, it was him, that guy from what's his name?
At this stage, they're just so chock full of useless one-liner characters that I was amazed that they were introducing another hyper one-liner character. I was like, you have so many hyper one-liner characters. Why? You've got the little
It's like they have such a stacked cast now for Ice Age. That even someone like Queen Latifah had like two lines in this whole thing. It's like, we got to get them. Got to get one for Jennifer Lopez. We got to get them for Josh Peck. Like,
J-Lo was not in it.
Because I think...
Oh, yeah, J-Lo's not in it yet.
This one has a time... Like, I looked it up on Wikipedia.
Oh, they Fast and Furious'd it.
They have a clear... There's a clear timeline.
Yeah, right.
So this is set between... Let me find... I don't want to get
That's
it wrong.
All right.
Is that the cancelled guy?
Yes.
This Christmas special takes place between Dawn of the Dinosaurs and Continental Drift.
Yeah, so this is the Tokyo Drift type thing.
There is a clarity here.
They Fast and the Furious-est, bitch.
Yeah. What I said.
Sorry.
And you didn't hear me, you didn't listen to me, you never listen to me.
No, I do, I was listening to you. I was just looking up who was the guy that was cancelled.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you weren't listening to me.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I wanted to know, I need to know that stuff.
Here.
Yeah, that's
when
fair.
Talking about
if we make you watch all this,
to be fair, that is awful of me that we've forced you when
unpacking unnecessarily a children's television show / movie franchise. I need to feel like my voice is being heard.
We've made you watch something like 10 hours,
I have disliked all of it.
You liked sloth tits.
Okay, so yeah.
But
yeah,
they've gotten rid of the sloth tits now.
And that's PC gone mad.
here's my final beef, I think. I don't think. Oh, no, I've got two. Here's my second to last beef.
Penultimate beef.
Penultimate beef.
They end on a song.
This was my beef. Yep, go, keep going.
I can't remember the song.
The songs come out of nowhere.
There was just a big Christmas song.
Yeah.
And then there's a reference to halls. Mm. And then someone says, don't know what a hall is.
Mm.
And then there's a reference to seasons. And then someone says, don't know what a season is either.
Yeah.
So now... I would have allowed that. That's a good joke, the idea that they're singing a song with lyrics that wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
We've already mentioned, though, that these characters are aware of geomagnetic forces.
Yes.
The geomagnetic forces that...
And they're celebrating the birth of a man who may or may not be the son of God that has not been born yet.
monotheistic religions hadn't been formed as far as we knew, yet they were aware of the celebration of him. Most cultures, almost all cultures in recorded human history have become aware of seasons before they have become aware of geomagnetic forces.
Mm. Yeah.
By thousands of years. Seasons are one of the first things.
I mean, I'm not an expert in Ice Age, in the Ice Age. But surely, I mean, with the axis of the Earth, there still would have been seasons.
Yes.
Absolutely. And they probably were aware of certain magnetic forces. I mean, if this was...
There would have been a dark time during the Ice Age and a lighter time.
Yes, the sun is higher in the sky, the sun is lower in the sky.
The days are longer, the days are shorter.
These are things that are, how a culture could not be aware of those concepts, but somehow have figured out the geomagnetic forces that exist within our world.
Yeah. Is bonkers.
So we're in Northern Lights, so we're in the Northern Hemisphere, of course.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of questions. They build a house. They build a little house at the end. Did you see that? It was like a gingerbread house that they. Yeah. So they might have known about halls.
Yeah, surely they could have figured out.
If they built that house,
potentially could have told
with
them.
Eaves and gables.
I mean, they knew about fairy lights. So
yeah,
like they strung fairy lights up.
Well, they were aware of, is it the pentatonic scale? In order to create this this piece of Western-style music that they are aware of the...
I mean, if you're going to, you know, if it's the Ice Age, shouldn't it just be like sort of more a chant or a throat singing?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Tibetan throat singing.
I saved Christmas.
My final thought, final beef.
Boom.
Boom. Just animals going off.
Or maybe drums, in which case they would have to stretch and dry.
But they just they'd just be drumming their own tums.
Some wood, yes.
Yeah.
My final beef is with the Santa.
We had to sacrifice Sid the Sloth in order to turn his skin into a drum.
Yeah.
My final beef is with the Santa. Mm. We've already discussed that this was a trash Santa. He looks feral.
Yeah, he looks fucked up.
Fucked up Santa. But also, Santa's a cunt. So the whole premise of this stupid little movie.
I mean, I think Santa is a cunt by his whole vibe.
Just his vibe.
Is cuntish.
Yeah, fair.
He's undercutting small business with his free gifts for everyone.
True.
Yeah, he's putting where's the union?
Well, then in that case, I applaud this film for being honest, because this guy's a cunt. Sid made a mistake. Like, he didn't mean to fuck things up. It wasn't deliberate. And because
you were watching it much more closely than me.
I don't really remember. I don't know. He did something fucked. He broke some shit. I don't know.
Okay. He broke the Christmas rock.
Yes. It was an accident.
The big ball rock.
An accident. And because he broke that, Santa's like, you're on the naughty list.
Yeah.
For something he didn't mean to do.
That is true.
And it was like the whole premise was like, well, I've got to get off the naughty list. I've got to make everything right again. And Santa watches from his magical little cloud or some shit, watches Sid struggle.
I think I must have skipped the part. Why was Santa not like... Because we introduced the reindeer and how he met. What was he doing there anyway? Was he walking?
No, just being like, I'm mad at you, I think.
So where was he off to? Because he was like, because once they got the reindeer, he was like, okay, now I'm off around the world to deliver presents to animals.
I didn't really understand.
Also,
but what was he doing prior to that? Was he just chilling, doing nothing?
I don't remember.
I skipped over that part.
I didn't skip over it, but I blocked it out. I watched it a few days ago.
Does anyone know?
Also the world. No.
So
you're
it's right? just convenience. No, like just he was just yawn. Like, I'm here. You found me. Here's a reindeer. He's gone off to get his friends. They're the reindeer that we know and love. and they have a little introduction. They can fly for some reason. Mm. And then he fucks off.
When he flies around the world, is the world the land masses we know today?
Yeah, which is incorrect.
Why was the world not more the land masses of the ice age?
Yeah, just like three giant...
giant continents.
Yeah.
Come on, like, dude.
It is so flawed.
We live in a post-walking with dinosaurs world.
I don't even.
Man.
This was by far and away my least favourite Ice Age experience we've had, and I did not enjoy the last few.
And also, they're running around the snow like it's snowing for the first time at the beginning, which I'm like, that...
Yeah. Oh my God, it's snowing, and it was every day.
It's the Ice Age.
Yeah, this is like, this is the snow that killed your brethren.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My final point is, if Christmas has been around since then, did that mean Jesus celebrated Christmas?
Yeah, by that logic.
Yeah.
Like someone was like, fuck. Like Mary was like, oh, fuck, now he's going to be a Christmas baby.
Yeah, he's a Christmas baby.
Damn it.
Damn it.
That makes it so hard.
Oh, I'm going to have to buy two presents. Oh,
yeah, how do I normalize that? Yeah.
But yeah. What's
well, wasn't he was, that's why the inn was full, because it was during a holiday.
Yeah, it's Christmas season, yeah.
It was the Christmas season, and it's a nightmare to get accommodation. Absolutely.
You should have booked. I mean, people are here for the Maya windows.
Yeah, sorry, man.
People book back in September for this,
window. It's in my windows.
It's in my windows. It's got a bluey display.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I think that I'm sort of. I just posed it shortly before, and I'm fixating on it. Who is he delivering presents to? Is he delivering presents to other animals?
No, I think it's the early.
So he's just delivering
Neanderthals,
yeah, the Neanderthals.
And the people of
the people.
Those early humans.
So what about the animals get presents as well, and they celebrate Christmas.
Yeah, does that mean?
And they want Santa to come and visit them. That's why they bring out the rock and the tree in the first place.
Mm.
So he has to deliver. That seems like a massive job.
And
probably still
point,
not as massive as what it is today.
Yeah. Well, Ben, no, because here's the thing. If he's delivering to every animal, what's his cutoff?
Mm.
Is he delivering to insects? Mm. Is it only mammals or large reptiles?
100%.
Is
because
it to
as
fish?
If Ice Age have taught us nothing,
fish?
If Ice Age has taught us nothing, it's that every single creature can coexist and live together and be friends.
He's got to deliver to worms. He's got to deliver to poisonous things.
It
things
then
that
opens up the other thing. Santa doesn't deliver to animals anymore. At what point did he stop delivering to animals?
Yeah, when did he make that business decision?
Did he cut it? Did he say, all right, no more fish, now no more reptiles, now I'm going to stop for all mammals except humans? Like, when did that happen?
Yeah.
Rough.
What the fuck, Santa?
So based on Leguistamo's,
how
Leguizamo-y it is, genuinely, and it's not just because I didn't like this, I'm going to give it 2.
Yeah.
It just didn't have much Leguizamo vibe. And to be honest with you, like, Sid was in it a fair bit.
Mm.
So, okay, on that 3, I'll give it 3 because it was like Sid was the storyline.
Yeah.
Sid fucked up. And I think that John probably, he probably renovated his office off the back of this.
Yeah, it was a half day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, like, made enough money to just, like, he's good. He was happy he did this. He doesn't remember it. He couldn't tell you the storyline of this. He couldn't tell you who was in there that day. Like, he does not remember doing this short film.
No. Yeah, he might have even forgotten he did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's even a chance that if you brought it up, it would take him a minute to go, oh, the TV thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I'm going 3.
Here's my Leguistamos. So this isn't really a Leguistamos thing, but I really take issue with the fact, you know, the Star Wars holiday special.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard about this, Mish?
No.
There was this infamous Star Wars holiday special that George Lucas tried to bury. It was so bad. Where it was a TV special with all the Star Wars characters. But even that TV special, which was much maligned, had the good grace to create a fictional holiday for the sci-fi characters.
Mm-hmm.
The Wookiees are celebrating like
some
Wookiee holiday.
And it also felt more variety showy. It felt outside of the world of Star Wars.
Yeah, but they're not celebrating Christmas because it's ludicrous. The fact that this didn't have the good grace to just do a mammoth thing.
Yeah.
That maybe there was a...
Mammoth Jesus.
Yeah, there was maybe a sort of mammoth or a saber tooth that died.
Yeah, and the
for the sins of all mammoths.
Mm. And the Jewish mammoths shunned him and eventually killed him.
Well, you know, I think that was a myth created by the Roman mammoths.
Yeah, right. So it's really Pontius mammoth.
It was really the Roman mammoths that did it.
But I would say the Catholic mammoths definitely paint the Jewish mammoths in, I would say, an anti-Semitic light.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that has perpetuated anti-Semitism to mammoths to this very day.
Yeah, absolutely. You know. So I think that's a huge thing. They could have just made up a mammoth Christ figure.
Potentially.
Yeah. Or just like a general mammoth holiday.
Well, yeah, like maybe a go takes, back to the original pagan holiday.
It also, it takes a couple of lines. You know what I mean? It only takes a couple of lines to go, we realize what we're doing here is a stretch. But they just didn't. They didn't even give us the good grace to be like, hey, we're just pissing about a bit here. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Like, yeah, acknowledge it. Like, yeah. They're happy to do a what's a haul.
Yeah.
Why not write up the top
I know this is crazy, but kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of gag. I know this is crazy, but kind of gag.
That was weird.
Yeah, sound went weird.
Yeah, you know what? I was going to try and cut it, but let's just acknowledge that the sound went weird.
The sound went weird. What is your Leguistamo rating?
Anyway, that's more of a star thing. I'm like, go get your Ice Age coin.
Yeah.
Mm.
Legs,
yeah.
Do up that office.
Yep.
Yeah,
I reckon he made good money for this comparatively.
Fuck yeah.
For sure.
On top of that, I love that he has the final song, and because of the shorter runtime and the Christmas hook, he's competing with less little cute things. In mm-hmm. the later Ice Ages, he's really competing with a lot of little fucked things that are really coming
yeah.
for
yes,
the
that's true. Yeah,
sloth.
All those weird pirates and shit.
Yeah, yeah. Like, are we yeah. serious that like fucking Simon Pegg pirate? Yeah. Is coming in.
God, I hated that one.
Yeah, yeah. That was bad.
So for that reason, I give it 4.5 Leguistamos.
Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ.
I don't care. I care as much as Leguizamo cares about this. I give it 5 Leguistamos.
It's okay, great.
Because no one gives a shit. We're all going to fucking die. And when we do die, nothing will happen.
Yep. No, that's fair. Ben, thank you so much for joining us yet again. I do believe we have a couple more to go.
Yeah. That's
not
fine.
Many. We're on the home stretch now.
Yeah.
Is there anything you've got coming up that people might be able to check you out in?
Yes, indeed. I'm doing a big tour. I'll be doing the Perth Fringe World, my new show, a brand new hour.
It's a brand new show, isn't it?
Brand new show.
Ooh.
It's called, I think in Perth, it'll be, just look up Ben Russell, it's a new show. And then I'm doing the GC Laughs Festival, so Gold Coast, and then I'm doing a comedy festival, doing the last 2 weeks of comedy festival at Cooper's Inn.
Great venue.
Oh, that's good.
It goes, it's a great run too. It's with Mike G's first in the evening, then Xavier Michaelides, then me.
Amazing.
Oh, so it's gonna be a night.
Yeah, it's a great lineup.
Just get there, sit down, watch the whole thing.
Yeah, so tickets aren't on sale yet for Comedy Festival, but they will be probably by the end of next year. Oh, not the end of next year, by the beginning of this year, sorry, of 2024. But tickets are on sale for Fringe World if you're in Perth and for Gold Coast. Check it out. You can go to my Instagram and Twitter and check out the link in the bio to get tickets.
Yeah, fuck yeah. You should fucking do that.
And we should say as well, we are taking a couple of weeks off.
Good. Thank you. I nearly forgot.
To the dear listener, we are taking this Christmas time off.
Yeah.
So, well,
like, honestly, we just are. We're taking a few weeks off. We're both going away.
We weren't going to, and then Auntie Donna did. The people at Listener told us we could take time off because no one listens during this time anyway. And then I was like, hey, Mish.
No one listens
to the real podcast I do.
reckons it's fine to do it.
We're allowed to do it.
And I was like, are you fucking serious? He's like, yeah, man. Abby Chatfield's taking time off. Yeah,
Abby Chatfield's taking 2 weeks off weekend too.
If Abby Chat is doing it.
Then... Oh, I'll do whatever she does.
If Abby Chat's doing it, she might not be doing it. I don't know.
She's doing it.
Thank you so much, Ben, for joining us. And Tom, if you could go back to that throat song that Ben was doing before, chuck that at the end. Have a nice little
don't even worry about that.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.